It's bonus time here on the Gill Connections podcast. In an effort to increase communication, empathy, and understanding around the country, we're going to be running a new episode every day, interviewing a coach, a high school coach from every state, and yes, even you, Washington, D.C., with explaining how the state qualifying system works in their state. We'll be talking with a local state expert on how many classes, private versus public schools, what events, and what is the process? Is it areas, districts, regionals, state meet? Is it a descending order list? Are there fun things that you do a little differently? Like maybe you, I don't know, maybe you do double points for relays. Looking at you, Texas. And then we're also going to get to the bottom of, is it the state meet or do you qualify for states? So check us out every day here in April and May of 2024 as we run through each state with a local state expert. So let's get started right now. All right, welcome back as we travel the country, heading out to the East Coast today to check out the Massachusetts Outdoor State Meet qualifying process. Help me welcome from Longmeadow High School, Mr. Tanner Williams. Tanner, thank you for being here today, my friend.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, Mike.
Absolutely. I'm just so, you know, I want to make sure I get this on recording. Just want to say thank you. You know, you're stepping up and representing the state. That's not necessarily an easy thing to do. And so I'm just so grateful that you volunteered for us here for the great state of Massachusetts. And we're really excited to learn more about how we do things here on the East Coast out in Massachusetts. So let's start with, how about introducing yourself? Give us a 30-second, kind of 30,000 foot level, who you are, how long you've been coaching. Give yourself some street cred there, Tanner.
Sure. So I started track and field 2002 as an athlete, my only year in high school doing it. And then I went to Syracuse and threw javelin at Syracuse for 2 years until I hurt my shoulder. Started volunteering and working with the coaching staff in recruiting, strength and conditioning, event specific stuff. And then after that, I went to Springfield College, coached at Springfield College for 2 years, was coaching back at my high school at the same time. And I primarily worked with throwers, but basically in everybody. Had a number of different good athletes at Springfield College. I coached with Pete Kumlelis, who's down at Villanova, and a good friend of mine. And we had some good times and some good people. I went back to coaching high school for another year, and then I went coached at AIC, American International College in Springfield, Mass, a Division II school. I won Track and Field Coaches Association Award for the East Region Assistant, Female Assistant Coach of the Year. I had a hammer thrower and a javelin thrower that went to nationals, and they were both seeded top five nationally for the following 2-3 years. Then I got off the college coaching path. I had a teaching job in Longmeadow and wanted to start a family. So I stopped coaching college and started coaching high school again. My athletes have done set number of school records. The state record in the shot put is my old shot putter, Abby Makwa, who went to Holy Cross and Sacred Heart. And now I'm actually coaching sprinters, jumpers, hurdlers, relays, basically everything else. I had 100 girls on the track team last year. We're a school of about 900, so it's a lot. It's the largest team on campus by far. And we came in second in our area meet last year, been building up since, you know, the COVID pandemic. And now I've been loving it ever since. But Massachusetts is a strange place to coach track and field. And I lived through it as an athlete for 1 year, and then, you know, coaching on and off until I stuck with it and became that girls coach. So,
well,
it's been a long, strange journey.
Bravo to you. 100 kids on a team. That's amazing. No matter how big your school is, to have a school that's 900, which means, you know, I'm not great at math, but better than one out of every 10 kids walking that hallway are on the track and field team, man. That is awesome. 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 Congratulations to you and your staff and the whole school. That's awesome, man. Love hearing that. Well, let's
100 girls and 80 guys.
Oh, geez. Oh,
just girls.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. That's had amazing. About 60 sprinters. 60 sprinters, jumpers, hurdlers.
That is awesome. I love that. I love that. Well, let's get into Massachusetts and let's find out what's going on there. Let's start with some states. We're finding out not many, but some states, they have a separate organizing body for private schools and a separate one for public schools. Others, more commonly, everybody's competing against each other, competing for the same state title. What are we doing private and public schools in the state of Massachusetts?
So unless you're a specifically preparatory school where you have like PGs and fifth years and whatever, unless you're that, everybody's in the same thing. So like last year we were at Notre Dame Academy in Hingham, which was a private school for our public school Division 4 or 5 meet.
Got it. We're all competing towards the same title. Great. So let's now move into how many classes. Massachusetts is not a big state, so I don't expect a lot, but what are we doing? How many classes are we there for track and field?
So we go all the way, I believe, let me just double check, it's 6. Yeah, we go all the way down to Division 6, and it's based on school size. So Longmeadow, we were Division 4 last year.
And you call them divisions. So Division 1, Division 2, Division 4, Division 5, Division 6.
Correct.
Which ones, is Division 1 the bigger schools or the smaller schools?
Biggest schools.
Biggest. Okay. All right. So we're going to, as we go through the state meet series, there are 6 boys teams winning a state team title and 6 girls schools that are winning a state team title in Massachusetts.
So for the divisions, yes. And then we have a meet of champions, but that's a newer thing within the last couple of years. Like all that, right. That wasn't, they just started calling it the meet of champions, and they actually don't crown a team champion at that meet. It's all the individual division meets.
Got it. All right. We'll get to that. Let's work towards our Division 1 through 6 state meet. All across the country, we have regionals, sectionals, areas, divisionals. We have all these different names. What's the first round that we are working towards getting towards the state championship? What's the first one called and how do we get into that meet?
So there used to be a regional qualifier back in 2002, all the way up through, I want to say like 2018 or 2019, there used to be a, you know, area divisional thing. So you'd have like the Western Mass Division 1 meet, Division 2 meet, and they'd have people from that meet go on to the next meet. Right. And then they changed it to Central Mass and Western Mass combined. And then Eastern Mass was its own thing, because Eastern Mass out by Boston has a lot more schools, a lot bigger schools, whereas Western Mass and even Central Mass by Worcester, not as many schools and certainly not as populated, but there are a few schools when you go west of 495, you know, where basically the eastern part of the state ends, that has a few schools that are really large, you know, the Worcester area, the Springfield area, but by and large the majority of the schools that are in Massachusetts are east of there, because you have the Boston, you have all the private schools, and you have, you know, the larger areas, you know, down towards the Cape and like that. So the number of schools is bigger out there. So when they changed it so that way you didn't get representation based on your area, now it's just straight a number. You get this number, you're in.
So it's a time qualifier or distance qualifier.
Correct.
So at any time during the outdoor state meet, if I run the 100-meter qualifying time, I'm going to the state meet. There's no area, regionals, districts. It's just all time-based to the state meet.
Yep, and it's anything during the regular season, because there is no – I mean, there are regional meets. Like, we have our Western Mass Championships, but it has no bearing besides the performance on getting into the state meet.
And it's not like the first or second place goes onto the state. That's just a really good meet, because we're bringing teams together, but it's all still based on the time or distance qualifying.
Yes. And it seemed like that the eastern part of the state felt that they had more people. Like, you'd have the Western Mass people that got in were not better than the next best person from Eastern Mass. So they started making it so that way it was just the top 32 in certain events, 24 in others. So they made it so that way it was just the best people.
Okay, so I was going to ask that. How many are we getting to the state meet? So did you say 24 or 36, depending on the event?
So the field events were they have a standard, and they have a minimum standard. But by and large, they had actually a bigger problem in having too many people make the minimum standard. So last year at the meet of champions in the boys 100 meters, it was 100 boys.
Well, don't go to the meet of champs yet, because that's after the state meet, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they had the same problem in other ways. Yeah. So they have, so like, for instance, the boys and girls pentathlon is limited to the top 12 entrants. Hmm. So that's in the divisional meet. That's every meet.
Gotcha.
And then they have a minimum standard. For instance, I'll just pull out an event just for the heck of it. The boys discus, the qualifying standard was, or division four, was 120 feet, 6 inches, with a minimum number of participants at 24.
Let's stay there. That's a good one. So you said on division four discus, did you say 124 feet, 6 inches?
120 feet, 6 inches was the minimum standard.
So if 100 boys in division four, let's just use some outlandish things so we make sure we understand this. If 100 boys through in division four threw greater than 120 feet, 6 inches, 100 would go to the state meet.
Correct.
And what would happen if only 12 boys in division four threw over 120 feet, 6 inches?
They would take the next 12 entries put in by coaches.
Gotcha. Okay. So it's a descending order list that guarantees we're going to have a minimum number going, but we don't know what the maximum is going to be, because the bunch of kids can qualify better than the qualifying time or distance.
Absolutely.
How do we garner what that time or distance is going to be on a yearly basis?
So they list on their format page that it's based on the average of the last 3 years, 20th place performance at the meet. So like the issue was with this one was because the last average 3 years was COVID and coming out of COVID. So a lot of the training had stepped down, and then all of a sudden everybody's got back into training again. And now it's like, oh, you know, so that's one of the problems they had, was that everybody got better again, and that drop in the curve came back up after COVID. So that was one problem. The other problem was that Massachusetts has been trying to get away from hand times entirely, mm-hmm. which is fine, except the western part of the state and much of the central part of the state does not have a lot of fully automatic timing capabilities. So there are a number of teams that don't have the money, schools that have the money for an outside agent to come in and do fully automatic time meets. And a lot of schools don't have the funding to go to Penn relays or go to even just local meets, you know, on the side. And, you know, track and field in Massachusetts is not a top tier sport like it is in other places. And in Massachusetts, you have baseball and lacrosse and basketball. And, you know, those sports are much more higher tier. Like, we lose people to boys volleyball, which is a spring sport. We lose people to people playing AAU basketball, even though it's like most of the kids at our school aren't playing Division I college basketball. So it's like, come do track. You'll get more exposure. You'll get more opportunity. And, you know, you probably have a better shot of going, you know, to go to college and play track than you are to actually go and play basketball. Mm-hmm. But so when not a lot of money is put into it, it makes it hard. So we've had issues where, you know, they accept hand times if they don't fill the field with automatic times. Mm-hmm. So, and there's a handful of meets out here in Western Mass that they make it so that, you know, all the teams can go to, like our Western Mass Championship is a fully automatic time meet, but there's so few that if a person just has a bad day, right, or has graduation or has, you know, any number of different things happening during spring, which is always a mess, you know, especially for us, we start in, you know, mid-March and go all the way through June.
Right.
lot of things happen then, and you know, you having one meet to go to hit an automatic qualifying standard is tough.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the state meet. We're doing 12 state meets, right? 6 boys and 6 girls. Do we do this in the same venue, the same weekend? Is it typically a college or a high school facility? Tell us about the venue for the state meet.
So this changed during COVID. It used to be a 1-day meet. You'd have 1 day, you do all the events, you start at 9 o'clock, you go to 8 p.m. Oh, it was awful. It was
all classes, one venue, 1 day?
No. It would be like Division I would be here, Division II would be there, Division III would be here.
I was going to say, yeah. That has to be the most well-run meet, actually, to make all of those happen.
One place.
Okay, all different venues, but it's changed.
All different venues, but one would happen like, you know, Division I would happen on Friday, Division II, you know, Division I, III, and V would happen on Friday, and II, IV, and VI would be on Saturday or something. And then it depended a lot on the venue, and you'd have some of the bigger high schools that would host it, and you'd have colleges. It basically came down to whoever, you know, our governing bodies, the MIAA, is whoever they got to say they wanted to host. Mm-hmm. And not a lot of schools want to host.
Sure.
Not a lot of high schools, not a lot of colleges. So we usually get the state schools, like Westfield State usually hosts. Mm-hmm. We went out to Notre Dame Academy in Hingham, which is a private girls' school, which was a little bizarre because you bring a guys' team and a girls' team to a venue. It wasn't very big. It's kind of tough with that many athletes, but that's usually what it is. It's a different venue for each division, and it used to be a 1-day meet, and then the pandemic happened, and they had an excuse to break the meet in half. Because before they would do like the pentathlon and one of the sexes of the pole vault on a different day, so that way they could fit everything in on the next day. And they said, well, you know, we want to split it into 2 days. So they split up half the events. Half the events happen on Thursday and the second half happen on Saturday. So it's either Thursday, Saturday, or Friday, Sunday. So now it's 6 2-day meets at 6 different venues using 4 different people's timing systems. Like they bounce back and forth between venues. I don't even know how they do it, but it's weird. It's weird. We have a limitation on events.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have a limitation on events, but like, it doesn't make any sense. You know, it always used to be like, you could only compete in 3 events, entire championship. And it's like, well, now you're splitting into 2 days. So why are we just doing 3 events when you can do a dual meet and do 4?
Right.
And that's 1 day in the span of 3 hours. So they're still not caught up with all, they're trying to be forward thinking, and they changed that part, but they haven't gotten the rest of it caught up.
What'd they change it to? You used to be able to do 3 at the state meet. What can you do now?
No, you can only do 3. Still 3.
Wow. But you can do 4 in a dual meet.
4 in a dual meet in 1 day, but you can only do 3. Including relays. So if you were the 100 meter, the long jump, and the 4x1, that was it.
Wow.
And it was really bad. A number of years ago, there was an athlete from a Western Mass school. He was the number one seed in his division in the long jump, the triple jump, the high jump, and the 100 hurdles. And at that point, there was a rule that said you could only do 2 track in 1 field, or 2 field in 1 track, or 1 track, 1 field, and 1 relay. And he had, even though he was the number one seed in all these, he couldn't compete in them.
Wow. Yeah. Yep. Okay. That's interesting. This is what this whole series going through all 51 state meets is designed to do, is to help us understand the intricacies of each state. And certainly Massachusetts has some intricacies. That's a good way of putting it, I think, right? Just intricacies.
It gets stranger too, Mike.
Okay. Before I ask my next question, then you tell me, how does it get stranger in the state meet? Because we still got to go through a couple other things. Yep. But the state meet, what else gets stranger there?
So they changed it to, they had it not this year, but the previous year, they encouraged fully automatic time, but they allowed hand times. Mm-hmm. But there's no verification process. Mm-hmm. Because you have direct athletics that had like results, but they were put in by coaches because we don't do enough meets that are through direct athletics. Like none of the rest of our meets, none of our regional meets, they're all done through a different system in the western part of the state. So none of them are like verifiable. So last year they had to accept, not this past season, the year before, they had to accept 90 girls in the 100 meters, even though none of them had made the qualifying standard in the 100 meters because they had so many people enter in hand times that couldn't be verified. It was, yeah. So
that's a problem.
Instead of them trying to go back and check, you know, you had one meet director who's running the timing system and he's like, I can't go and verify 100 different just girls in the 100 meters, one event. And we have a few more events that than we do the 400 hurdles instead of the 300 hurdles. We do long, triple, high, and pole vault. We do shot, disc, and javelin. We don't do hammer, but we do javelin. We only do the 4x1, the 4x4, the 4x8. We don't do any other relays at the championship meets. Any other relays or any other events have to be done at smaller things. We do the pentathlon, not the hep, not the decathlon. And the pentathlon is long jump, high jump, shot put, high hurdles. The girls run the 8, the boys run the 1500. So long, high hurdles.
That's 5, yeah.
Shot. I think I got it. Let's
talk about this pentathlon real quick, because that is certainly unique. We've had a couple of states that do unofficial multi-state meets after a week or so after the state meet, they'll do a HEP or a DEC. You actually do the pentathlon for boys and girls as a state meet scored event.
Correct.
Tell us.
And actually, they still do the HEP and the decathlon. They do it the same weekend as the Meet of Champions, which is weird for me because that means the kids in the Meet of Champions can't go and do that. But we do the pent as a state thing. So what you do is, because there aren't a lot of pents or multi-meets, especially out in this part of the state, if you do the pent as a meet, as a regular thing in a meet, you put your score in. And if you're one of the top 12 in your division, you move on to the state meet. But they also take... if you did these 5 events over the course of the year, put in your best, and then that goes into a formula for your points. And then if you're one of the top 12, you get it. And there's been some years where they've only had 6 entrants, and there's some years where they have 20 entrants, but they only take the top 12.
So I'm curious, with your 3 events at a state meet rule, can I do the pentathlon, the 100, and the 4x1?
Correct. The pentathlon counts as one event.
But if I'm that other young man, I think you said was the high hurdles, long triple, and high jump, only 3.
Correct.
This is very interesting, Massachusetts coaches. I have to give all props to the state of Massachusetts and Massachusetts coaches for having the pentathlon, though. That is super unique and super valuable for our young people to get that experience. So has there been talk about with the pentathlon? First of all, now that you have a 2-day meet, has there been talk about moving to a HEP and or DEC? And 2, you're a unique state that has the javelin. We're about 25 states roughly have the javelin. Has there been talk about adding the javelin into the multi for you at all?
I don't think so. And I think part of the reason was the already event restrictions, because if you only can do 3, you know, and they were, the pentathlon used to be on a separate day where no other events besides pole vault were happening. And I think that's one thing that hasn't caught up, because like you said, if a person's running the 100, the long jump, and the 4x1, they could only be doing 3 jumps, 1 run, and 1 other run, versus the pent where you have to long jump 3 times, run the hurdles, high jump at least 3 attempts, if not more, and then you have to throw shot put 3 times and run the 8. That's a lot more for one person, and that only counted as one event. So they could come back. So the one girl I coached this year, we went in the pent, and I made sure, because the pent was on Thursday, and she didn't compete again until Saturday, that her other two events were on Saturday. So she did the pent, and then she high jumped, and then I put her in the 4x4 because our 4x4 team had a good shot. So those are the only three events that she went in, even though the pent was 5. Yeah.
You warned me before we hit record.
It's, yeah.
I love it. All right, let's go through a couple more questions here. We're learning a lot of states are adding some kind of adaptive, unified wheelchair events to the state meet or state meet series, anything like that in Massachusetts?
Yeah, so what they do is anybody that has one of those many exceptions. So we've had people in wheelchairs, we've had people with, you know, dwarfism and things like that compete, and they just compete and they just keep on going as long as they want and they compete. We've only had a handful of people that have had, you know, those physical I'm trying to think of a better way to say it than
disability. Sure. Mm-hmm.
But they compete in the meet and they keep competing. It's almost like they have their own separate division. So a number of years ago my shot putter was throwing at the state meet and the New England meet and all this other stuff. She was throwing against a girl that had dwarfism, and that girl threw at every regional meet and every state meet, because that's when it was a regional meet. Mm-hmm. And she threw at all the meets and she would win her division. It didn't mm-hmm. count for the scoring for the team champion, but it was like, they still had the ability to do that. They don't really have a unified track and field, and that's with people with like mental disabilities and like that as much. We have a number of people that compete, but they don't have the opportunity to move on in the same way as those people do. So yeah. It's almost like they go into a set, they would go to, you know, Special Olympics and stuff like that. But we have a number of those people compete in our dual meets and stuff like that.
Hey, that's great. There seems like there is an avenue for someone in that category of for track and field specifically that can compete and compete along with our able-bodied. Again, I'm not real great on the naming as well here, but I'm glad that there's inclusivity with that. So very good. Love that for Massachusetts. Okay. You talked about a meet of champs. So meet of champs mm-hmm. happens a week after the state meets, and you take the top two or three. How do we get this meet of champs? And then you also said on the same weekend, you're doing a Heppen deck invite sort of thing. Tell us more about these two events there.
So the Heppen deck that they do is you sign up for it and they do the same thing. And most of them, it's regional. So like there's a Western Mass Decathlon, a Central mm-hmm. Mass, and an Eastern Mass. They may even do a South Shore and like that, but it's has little to do or any bearing to what happens with the with all the rest of the meets. Like it doesn't count like points to the right. to any of the other stuff. And they actually changed it so that the Meet of Champions isn't actually a team scored event. It's just meant for individual stuff. Mm-hmm. And it used to be that if you were top four in your division or in your region, or top three or top two, whatever it was, you made it onto the next meet. They actually have limited it now to one. So if you win your division, you continue on minimally, and then everybody else is based on a qualifying standard. That's it.
In this meet of champs, how is it traditionally? What I mean by that is it well attended in regards to like, does the state champ always, all six of them always go to the meet of champs, or is it kind of loosely like, yeah, we have to do a lot of fill-ins and it's just another track meet?
I would say that for the meet of champions, everybody goes. Unless, so like this past year, the meet of champions, so they try and move the meet of champions from area. They go Western Mass, Central Mass, Eastern Mass, because those are basically the three chunks that the state gets broken into. So it's either hosted by Westfield State, Fitchburg State, or somebody out east hosts it. It's usually a high school out east because the high schools are bigger with bigger tracks and like that. Mm-hmm. So most of the time, everybody goes. Last year, they had the issue where they had too many people entered in some events. So, like, I'm pulling up the entry list for the boys 100-meter dash last year, and there were 88 people who qualified in 100-meter dash for the Meet of Champions. the meet of champions qualifying standard was 11:35, and they had 88 people registered with that time.
And seems like a lot.
Pretty sure not 88 people showed up. It was cold and raining and not a nice day. And a lot of teams, the meet of champions is usually the most well attended, because after when you go from meet of champions in Massachusetts, we do a New England regional championship, and that is hosted by each state on a rotating manner. And last year it was in the middle of nowhere up in Maine, like a 4-hour trip if you were anywhere but like Boston area. So a lot of people didn't go to New England meet, and usually they fill in, like you get the New England meet's different because you get six people from your state that go to that meet, but they fill in. So if like 4, 5, and 6 say, yeah, I'm not going, they take 7, 8, 9 and they go. So, but so that one's not as well attended, but the meet of champions is usually all the champs from each usually go. And this is part of the reason they changed the from a regional qualifier to a divisional qualifier, because the in the Division II Central Western meet would probably be the 40th seed if they were out east. So they changed it to school size, and then they just said just one winner from each division. So if you don't win your division, it's based on your time or and it was your best time. It was what you did all season. It wasn't what you did at the meet. So if you came out in, end of March, early April, and you dropped a good time, you didn't have to compete again until the meet of champions if you didn't want to.
Interesting.
So that was a new thing these past 2 years.
Let's make sure you told us some of the events. Let's make sure we're talking about all those events that you do there in Massachusetts. We know you're doing the 1, 2, 4, and the 8. In the 16, 32, are you doing 16, 32, mile, 2 mile, 15, 3,000? What are you doing there in the 16, 32 area?
Mile and 2 mile.
Doing mile and 2 mile. Okay. Very cool.
Mile and 2 mile. Yeah.
And for you're doing the 110 high hurdles and the 100 high hurdles.
Correct.
I heard you say you're doing the 400 hurdles. Is that new or has that been tradition?
In Massachusetts, we've been doing it for about, 10 years.
Okay. I'd call that new. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. Very good. Cause I have to think about it. Cause we still have the 300 hurdle record on our record board. And I called both people that had that. Cause when I went to school with one of them, said your record's never going to be broken because we don't do it anymore.
That's right. That's right.
But interestingly, yeah, when we go to the New England meet, New England still competes in the 300 hurdles. So if the meet is in Massachusetts, it's a 400 hurdle event, but if it's in any other state, it's a 300 hurdle event.
Oh, that's interesting. I did not know that. That's way interesting. Huh.
So Massachusetts wanted to be ahead of the curve and go 400 hurdles, but nobody else followed.
Very good. Very good. Relays, I heard 4x1, 4x4, and 4x8.
That's it.
Long jump and triple jump for boys and girls.
Correct.
Shot put and discus for boys and girls.
Correct.
Pole vault and high jump for boys and girls.
Correct.
I heard you say javelin.
Correct.
And pentathlon.
Pentathlon.
Anything we're missing there in the state meet series?
Not in the state meet as an official scoring event. They'll do like, they do a hammer weight throw, but it's unofficial. But there's always a coach out east, usually, a former college coach or somebody that'll coach somebody in hammer and have an unofficial, state champion in the hammer.
Good.
And in the weight, which is great. I really wish, because I coached hammer in college. My hammer thrower was 190, almost 200 foot hammer thrower. And I went and coached internationally, went to Nigeria for their championship to go and coach her there. And I'm like, I love coaching hammer, I love coaching weight, and now I can't coach it because I mean, the amount of time with 90, 100 girls.
Yeah.
So Abby, my shot putter, I said, you're going to learn how to throw hammer and weight because college coaches want to see that you throw hammer and weight, not just that you're shot and disc or shot and nothing else indoors. And if they see that you've at least started learning it, then they like, oh, well, then we don't have to teach it completely from scratch.
Right.
And, so So there's a few, like I brought her out east for the weight throw championship, but she wasn't a great hammer thrower. She was big and strong, and there wasn't a lot of opportunity for her to compete. So it made it tough for her to go to those meets and, you know, try and throw hammer ever not having thrown it in a real meet.
Yeah, very good. All right, before we get to a couple of fun things here, Tanner, anything that we missed, anything that I should have asked, anything else we should know about? I mean, you've hit us up with some very unique things in Massachusetts. Anything else that we should be making sure everybody knows about Massachusetts track and field before we get to a couple of fun questions?
I would say it changes the thing about Massachusetts is it tries to change a lot. Like those changes that I've talked to you, those occurred since 2002. And it seems like every 2 or 3 years they'd change it. So when I was in high school, you had the Western Mass meet, the Western Mass. So Division I Western Mass, Division II Western Mass. You had at least 2 meets in Central Mass, and I think 4 meets in Eastern Mass. And the regional, if you finished top 4 at one point or top 3 at one point in any of those meets, that went to the state meet. It had nothing to do with your mark or anything. It was just how you finished there. And then they changed it and made it so that it was less auto qualifiers. And then they encouraged people to be entered at their marks. So 1 year they had it so that... for instance, I had a couple of javelin throwers, and if you finished top 2 at the meet, you would go. But then they would take the next 6 best qualifiers that threw on that day. What they threw on that day, if you were the next 6 people in at any one of those meets, you would get in. But then you'd be competing at different places. So like we were at a small high school in Western Mass competing, that we weren't allowed to use a track runway for javelin. But a track runway for javelin is a huge advantage for blocking and planting. So we were throwing on grass, and I had 2 javelin throwers that missed making the all-state meet that year by 6 and 12 inches. And I'm like, well, they didn't compete in the same, you know, it's not the same standards. It's like you're running the 100, you have fully automatic time. That's the same standard. But when you go and throw javelin and you're throwing off of grass versus track, there's a huge disparity there. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that they had the best intentions at heart, but the execution wasn't always there. And it's getting better. And I understand why they want to try and get fully automatic time be the norm. The issue is there isn't enough of it. And even then, so this past year I had a girl that had qualified and they refused to take fully automatic times, or sorry, hand times, unless they didn't fill the field with automatic times. But the automatic times were set so low that if you didn't make the automatic time, you had no shot, because there was almost 100 people in each event, that's in some of the events. So I had accidentally entered a girl in with a hand time, because before, if you had a hand time and if it was better than 0.24, than their fully automatic time, you were told to enter their hand time, because that would seed them more appropriately.
Right.
Because that was the standard you would have. So if somebody ran 10.6 and then they FAT, but they ran 10.70 hand time, you know, you would run the 10.6. But if you ran 10.9 hand fully automatic time and 10.7 or 10, yeah, 10, so let's say 10.6 hand time, it was better for you to enter them in at 10.6 hand time, because that would seed them more appropriately. And it became kind of a mess that way. And that was part of the reason they had trouble with, you know, 1 year and having so many entrants. And then you have the fact that none of it is done verifiably. Mm-hmm. So there were a number of coaches, even in our regional meet and our Western Mass meet, where they had entered people in at times that they had never run or competed in. And yeah, it was obvious.
I could see where that would be a big mess. Speaking of messes, help us out here. Settle us a debate, Tanner. At least in your area, your culture, your part of the state, how do we say we're going to the state meet? Do we say we're qualifying for states? Do we qualify for the state meet? Do we qualify for state? How do you say it? Help us settle this argument.
So I usually say it versus the kids. So I, because they've changed the name of it so many times. I have to, like, so we go, we had the All-State meet, and then we have, now we have it called the Meet of Champions. Before it was the state meet or all states. So I would say that most of the kids would just call it states. I tried to use the technical term for it because it was more descriptive of what actually it was. So when they changed it from meet it, from all states to the Meet of Champions, I say Meet of Champions because it's not really representative of all the state, right, if that makes sense.
I like
but that. And when they changed it to, you know, if I have my 400 meter girl run whatever the qualifying standard is in April, then she doesn't have to run any meet until the Meet of Champions if she doesn't want to, or she could compete in the 200 and the one at any other meet and then just run the four at the Meet of Champions.
Got it.
But
well, Tanner, you have helped us to understand a very convoluted, a whole bunch of spaghetti noodles mixed together. But at the end of the year, we produce some amazing champions out of Massachusetts. I'm always very impressed and proud of what this really, you know, I know it's a very horizontal, but a very small state populace. It's not a Florida, Texas, California. So amazed at the coaches out of that state. So you've done so well and helped us out here. You win the magic wand. Tanner, if you could change one thing and only one thing in the state qualifying series or the state meet there, what would that one thing be to help make it better, in your opinion?
I would say, oh man, one. Okay.
I knew that's where you were struggling.
Yeah. I would say if they made it so that way, when you put in times, either the availability of fully automatic time was better for the whole state, so that way they could verify the times and not run into the problem of 88 people making it in and not sure if a coach could flat out just made up the time or whatever. So I would say that the actual way they verify and availability of fully automatic time in those events, because it's one of the few events, you know, the sprinting events, that they have to have that. Whereas if you throw shot put, doesn't matter. Every single meet is a potential chance. But if I have a girl running the 100 in, you know, April or May in a dual meet, it's like, yeah, this is worthless. This doesn't count for anything. Like, the dual meets out here became like, for some part of the state, it became like the only thing they shot for because they knew that their times wouldn't get them into the state meet. So they focus more on the dual meets. Whereas I'm more of the, if we take care of the state meet stuff, then all the dual meets will be fine. We don't have to worry about it. We got 100 girls. We can just out, you know, just put more people in events and just beat people that way.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Listening to how you do it there in Massachusetts, that was the thing I was thinking too. Is like, oh, we need more availability of fully automatic timing systems. I like that. I think you're spot on there. Tanner, thank you so much, man. We're so grateful that you'd spend some time with us and really share a unique, you know, we're about halfway through here. You know, we're at the M's at Massachusetts, and we've seen some very, I don't mean this in a negative way, but very simplistic paths to the state meet. And we've seen some very woven around. I thought it was going to be super simple when you told me time-based only. I was like, oh, short, easy peasy. This is, we're done here. And then you started spinning the web of everything else. But I do want to, again, shout out to the coaches and to the MIAA there in Massachusetts of the pentathlon. I am a huge component of javelin, 400 hurdles, pentathlon, events like that, that give our kids more of an opportunity to compete on the college level. So bravo to you guys and gals out there for that. So Tanner, thank you so much for being here with us today and helping us understand Massachusetts outdoor state track and field meet. You guys keep listening. If you haven't heard the A through M, go back. We're doing this every day here in 2024, and then keep up because we're going on to the N's, the P's, the Q. Well, there's no Q's, I guess, but we're going all the way to Wyoming and Washington, D.C. So check us out tomorrow and we'll get right back at it. Tanner, thank you so much, my friend.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate having me.